Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldner, and today we're Zechus Yuma Daf Ein Dalad, the eighth parak Yom Kippurim. So the three topics we're going to focus on: number one, the Gemara Daf Ein Gimel Amud Beis introduces machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding Chetzi Shir. The Gemara here explains their reasoning. Rabbi Yochanan says the Chetzi Shir is asum in the Torah. Kevin de Chazgat Zerufi Isura Ka'achil. Since the Chetzi Shir he now eats is fit to combine with more of the same forbidden food to complete the full Shir. Reish Lakish says that it's mutim in the Torah, achil amar rachman v'leika, for the Torah stated that eating certain foods is prohibited, and when eating a chetzi shir, there's no halachic act of eating. Only the consumption of the kazayis of food constitutes an act of eating. Point number two is Tanna Braisa, the Torah states that in Yom Kippur, tanu es nafshosechem, you shall afflict yourselves. Now, it could be thought that this means that one should sit in the hot sun or in the cold in order to suffer. Therefore, the Torah states, v'kol malach losasu, and you shall not do any work. Ma malacha shabba al tase, af inui shabba al tase. Just as the mitzvah of not doing malacha is a command to sit and not do, so too the mitzvah of afflicting yourself is a command to sit and not do. That is, the mitzvah of affliction requires not a direct inflicting of pain and discomfort, but a refraining from any activity that relieves such suffering. Now the Gemara asks that perhaps the pasuk is coming to command that in a case where one sits and the sun becomes hot, we should not say to him, get up and sit in the shade. Or where one sits in the shade and becomes cold, we shouldn't say to him, get up and sit in the sun. The Gemara answer is, ma malachu l'chalakdaba af inwe lo t'chalakba. Just as you do not differentiate concerning when to apply the mitzvah of refraining from work, for it's a prohibition that applies in all situations, so too you should not differentiate concerning when to apply the mitzvah of affliction, meaning that in this case, if a person actively enters a sunny or shady area and sits there, he can fulfill the mitzvah of affliction, as this is a positive act and has already been excluded from the prohibition. And point number three, the Gemara determines that the inui of Yom Kippur is derived from the inui of the man and brings a machlokas and a rhyme regarding the affliction caused by the man. The Torah states, "Hamachil chaman b'midbar l'man anoscha, who feeds you man in the midbar in order to afflict you." Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yasi debate why eating man was an affliction. One said, "Ena doma misheish l'pas basala, misheinu l'pas basala. One who has bread in his basket is not at all similar to one who does not have bread in his basket." Rashi explains that the one who no longer has bread left in his basket worries about tomorrow's sustenance. The other one said, "Ena doma misha roba ochel, misha ena roba ochel." One who sees what he eats is not at all similar to one who cannot see what he eats. Rashi explains that when eating the man, one could experience the taste of any food he desired. But since they only saw the man, they didn't feel as satiated as one who could see the various types of food. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara Daf Ein Gimel Amud Beis introduces the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding Chetzi Shir. The Gemara here explains their reasoning. Rabbi Yochanan says Chetzi Shir is asum in the Torah, came to Chazigat Zerufi Isura Ka'achal. Since the Chetzi Shir he now eats is fit to combine with more of the same forbidden food to complete the full Shir. Reish Lakish says that's mutim in the Torah, achila amar rachman v'leika, for the Torah stated that eating certain foods is prohibited, and when eating a chetzi shir, there is no halachic act of eating. Only the consumption of the kazayis of food constitutes an act of eating. Point number two is Tanna Braisa, the Torah states on Yom Kippur, tanu es nafshosechem, you shall afflict yourselves. Now, it could be thought that this means that one should sit in the hot sun or in the cold in order to suffer. Therefore, the Torah states, v'kol malachu l'sasu, and you shall not do any work. Ma malacha shava al tase, af inui shava al tase. Just as the mitzvah of not doing malacha is a command to sit and not do, so too the mitzvah of afflicting yourself is a command to sit and not do. That is, the mitzvah of affliction requires not a direct inflicting of pain and discomfort, but a refraining from any activity that relieves such suffering. The Gemara asks that perhaps the pasuk is coming to command that in a case where one sits in the sun and becomes hot, we should not say to him, get up and sit in the shade. Or where one sits in the shade and becomes cold, we shouldn't say to him, get up and sit in the sun. The Gemara answers, ma malachu l'chalakdaba af inui lo t'chalakba. Just as you do not differentiate concerning when to apply the mitzvah of refraining from work, for it's a prohibition that applies in all situations, so too you should not differentiate concerning when to apply the mitzvah of affliction, meaning that in this case, if a person actively enters a sunny or shady area and sits there, he can't fulfill this mitzvah of affliction, as this is a positive act and has already been excluded from the prohibition. And point number three, the Gemara determines that the inui of Yom Kippur is derived from the inui of the man, and brings the machlokas amarim regarding the affliction caused by the man. The Torah states, "Hamachil chaman b'midbar l'man anoscha, who feeds you man in the midbar in order to afflict you." Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi debate why eating man was an affliction. One said, one who has bread in his basket is not at all similar to one who does not have bread in his basket. Rashi explains that the one who no longer has bread left in his basket worries about tomorrow's sustenance. The other one said, "Ein adom misha rov ba'ocho, misha einu rov ba'ocho." One who sees what he eats is not at all similar to one who cannot see what he eats. Rashi explains that when eating the man, one could experience the taste of any food he desired, but since they only saw the man, they didn't feel as satiated as one who could see various types of food. All right, so now we go to our siman daf ayin dalet, and our siman is an aid, a witness. So here goes. The witness observed the man who ate 2.5 shears of food on Yom Kippur because he felt afflicted sitting in the hot sun, and the food didn't satiate him because it was colorless, like the man. Once again, into motion. The witness, that must mean we're on daf ayin dalet, aid. The witness observed the man who ate 2.5 shears of food on Yom Kippur, which reminds the Gemara brings the reasons behind the Malchokas of Chetzi Shir. Rabbi Yochanan says that Chetzi Shir is Asmin Torah, since the Chetzi Shir he now eats is fit to combine with more of the same forbidden food to complete the full shear. Rish Lakish says Chetzi Shir is Mutter Min HaTorah, for the Torah stated that eating certain foods is prohibited, and when eating a Chetzi Shir, there is no halakhic act of eating. So the witness observed the man who ate 2.5 shears of food on Yom Kippur because he felt afflicted sitting in the hot sun, which reminds us, it could be thought that when the Torah states, Tanu es nafshosechem, you shall afflict yourselves, this means that one should sit in the hot sun or in the cold in order to suffer. Therefore, the Torah states, V'kol malachu l'sasu, and you shall not do any work. So ma malachu shava al tase, af inui shava al tase. Just as the mitzvah of not doing malach is a command to sit and not do, so to the mitzvah of afflicting yourself is a command to sit and not do. That is, the mitzvah of affliction requires not a direct inflicting of pain and discomfort, but a refraining from any activity that relieves such suffering. So the witness observed the man who ate 2.5 shears of food on Yom Kippur because he felt afflicted sitting in the hot sun, and the food didn't satiate him because it was colorless, like the man. Which reminds us, the Gemara determines that the inu of Yom Kippur is derived from the inu of the man, and there's a malchus regarding what the inu of the man was. One said, "Ein adom misha shul pas basalo, misha einu pas basalo." One who has bread in his basket is not at all similar to one who does not have bread in his basket. The other one said, "Ein adom misha ro ba'ocho, misha einu ro ba'ocho." One who sees what he eats is not at all similar to one who cannot see what he eats. So once again, the witness observed the man who ate 2.5 shears of food on Yom Kippur because he felt afflicted sitting in the hot sun, and the food didn't satiate him because it was colorless, like the man. All right, now it's time for 4 blot back chazorah. Daf Ayin, so the Simmer Daf Ayin is a one-eyed Martian. So here goes. The one-eyed Martians, that must mean we're on Daf Ayin. The one-eyed Martians listening to their high Martian, proudly doing a public reading by heart, which reminds us, the Gemara here asks why the Kohen Gadol reads the parchment of Musafim by heart instead of rolling the Sefer to the proper place and reading inside. Rav Huna Bar Yeshua said, in the name of Sheshes, because we don't roll a Sefer Torah in public out of consideration for the coveted Zebra, making them wait in silence until the Torah is rolled and then read. Two reasons are given as to why a second Sefer is not brought. Mishum Bekam Moshe Rishon, because people might think the first one is lacking, or Mishum Bracha Shein Tzricha, because of the unnecessary bracha the Kohen Gadol would make. So the one-eyed Martians listening to their high Martian, proudly doing a public reading by heart, wish they had chosen instead to go to the sacrificial burning, taking place on a different planet at the same time. Which reminds us, the Gemara here asks why anyone would think that there's anything wrong with watching both procedures of Kriyas HaTorah and the burning of the offerings, and answers that you might have thought that one might not leave one procedure in the middle in order to observe the second one based on Rish Lakish's principle of Ein Mavir in all mitzvahs. We don't pass over the opportunity to perform mitzvahs, the mitzvah being here, Barov Amadras Melech. It's a mitzvah of, with a multitude of people, is the glory of the king. Therefore, the Tan is coming to inform us that one would be permitted to do so. And Rashi explains that since those watching the mitzvah are not actually involved in its performance, leaving the area doesn't constitute a mavir in all mitzvahs. So the one-eyed Martians listening to their high Martian proudly doing a public reading by heart wish they had chosen instead to go to the sacrificial burning taking place on a different planet at the same time, where only one ram was offered. Which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva disagree about the order of the offerings, but agree that there was only one communal ram, since neither mentioned a second ram in their order of the Karbanis. So this is in accord with Rabbi, as it was taught in the Brisa. Rabbi holds that there was one ram on Yom Kippur, the one mentioned by Yikra and the one mentioned in the Chumash HaBikudim. Rabbi Shimon says there are two communal rams, the one mentioned by Yikra and the other in Chumash HaBikudim. Rabbi holds that there's one, for it's written, Echad, one ram. The Torah emphasizes one, even though the word ram alone would have indicated a single ram. Rabbi Shimon says that the meaning is Meyuchad Shebe'edro. It should be the choices of its flock. Rabbi learns it should be Meyuchad Shebe'edro from a different pasuk. Daf Ayin Av. So the similar Daf Ayin Av is a donkey going E-Aw. So here goes. The two colleagues greeting each other in the street by donkey. Donkey, that must mean we're on Daf Ayin Av. E-Aw. The two colleagues greeting each other in the street by a donkey, which reminds us what the one who took the Sir Azazel out would say to the Kohen Gadol when he met the Kohen Gadol the next day, and how he ascribed his shlichus to the Kohen Gadol when he met him in the street to give honor to him in public. So the two colleagues greeting each other in the street by a donkey were astonished when a slight and weak-looking Talmud Chacham picked the animal up with one hand. Which reminds us, Rabbi Berechia gives two pshatim in the pasuk in Mishlei that states, Alechem ishim ekra, and to you men do I call. Eil Talmud Chachamim shadon when nashim ve'osim gvurka nashim. This refers to the Talmud Chachamim who appear similar to women in that they're non-aggressive and physically weak, yet they perform feats of heroic strength like men, referring to overcoming their Yetzirah. The second pshat is, Harod Selenasach Yain al Gabi HaMizbeach, Yemal Gronim Shel Talmud Chachamim Yain. One who desires to offer a wine libation upon the Mizbeach should fill the throats of Talmud Chachamim with wine, because the word Ishim suggests Isha, an offering on the Mizbeach. So the two colleagues greeting each other in the street by a donkey were astonished when a slight and weak-looking Talmud Chacham picked the animal up with one hand, as his muscles ripped through his garment, which was spun sixfold. Which reminds us, the Braisa taught how the Big Day Kahuna were woven. Items which the Torah says were made with sheish, linen, had the thread spun sixfold. This means that each thread of linen was composed of six strands spun into a single thread. Items described as mashzar, twine, had the thread spun eightfold. The me'il, which was pure techelos wool, was made of 12-fold cords. Peruch was made of 24-fold cords. The chosh and the ephod were made of 28-fold cords. Dafayim Beis. So the Simmer Dafayim Beis is a thick piece of cake. So here goes. The birthday boy dressed as a Kohen Gadol who got upset when his friends ripped his kashim and loosened his choshen served birthday cake. Birthday cake? That must be one Dafayim Beis. The birthday boy dressed as a Kohen Gadol who got upset when his friends ripped his kashim and loosened his choshen, which reminds us of Rechava said in the name of Yehuda, that one who tears one of the big dekahuna receives malchus. Similarly, Rebbe Elazar said one who loosens the choshen from its moorings on the ephod or one who removes the poles of the arm receives malchus. For it says in one pasuk, lo yizach, and the choshen shall not be detached from upon the ephod. And it says in another pasuk, lo yasuru, in the rings of the arm shall be the poles, they shall not depart from it. So the birthday boy dressed as a Kohen Gadol, who got upset when his friends ripped his kashim and loosened his choshen, served birthday cake adorned with three crowns, which reminds us there are three crowns that adorn three kelim in the base of Migdash. Aaron merited and took the crown of Mizbeach, David merited and took the crown of the Shulchan, shall Aaron adain munachu kol roitzulikach yavu v'yikach, but the crown of the Aaron is still at rest, anyone who wishes to take it may come and take it. So the birthday boy dressed as a Kohen Gadol who got upset when his friends ripped his kashim and loosened his choshen, served birthday cake adorned with three crowns that tasted awful for those who misbehaved. Which reminds us of the pasuk v'zos haTorah asher sam Moshe, and this is the Torah that Moshe put some before, alludes to the following, Zacha nasu l'sam achaim, or Zacha nasu l'sam amisa. If one's deserving, the Torah becomes a drug, a sum of life to him, but if he's not deserving, becomes a drug of death to him. And we have the same idea contrasting the psukim kudi Hashem Yisrael with sam chaylev, and Imr says Shem Tzarufa, the word of Hashem smelts. Zachem is Samachta or Zachem Tzarafta. If one's deserving, the Torah gladdens him, but if he's not deserving, it smelts him. All right, so that concludes the shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing a great day and great learning. Dafayin Gimel, so the Simmer Dafayin Gimel is a giant ostrich egg. So here goes. The Mashiach Melchem who addressed the soldiers in his Epigadim before they went to the battlefield riddled with giant ostrich eggs. Giant ostrich eggs? That must be on Dafayin Gimel. The Mashiach Melchem who addressed the soldiers in his eight begadim before they went to the battlefield riddled with giant ostrich eggs, which reminds us that although midrash the Mashiach Melchem does wear the eight begadim of the Kohen Gadol when he does the avodah in the base of Migdash, he doesn't wear them in the Rabban Mishuma Eva, and he doesn't wear the four begadim of the Kohen Hedyot because of Malim Makodesh Ve'in Meridin. So the Mashiach Melchem who addressed the soldiers in his eight begadim before they went to the battlefield riddled with giant ostrich eggs aroused the enmity of the Kohen Gadol wearing the Urim Batumim, which reminds the Gemara brings several teachings about the Urim Batumim. The one consulting faces the one being consulted, while the Kohen Gadol faces the Shechina, tilting his head downward to face the Choshen resting on his chest. One doesn't inquire in a loud voice and does not inquire about two matters simultaneously. So the Mashiach Melchem who addressed the soldiers in his eight begadim before they went to the battlefield riddled with the giant ostrich eggs aroused the enmity of the Kohen Gadol wearing the Urim Batumim, and who had prepared a meal for him that was only a chetzi shir. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks how the Mishnah could say that eating and drinking Yom Kippur is aser, which implies only a prohibition is involved, when we know that eating and drinking is punishable by koras, and answers that it's needed only in a case when someone ate or drank a chetzi shir. When the Gemara says that this explanation is only good according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds chetzi shir aser min haTorah, but not according to Reish Lakish, who holds chetzi shir mutter min haTorah, it answers that Reish Lakish concedes that chetzi shir is aser in the Rabbanan. All right, so that concludes the shir. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.